Your guest speaker for today is John Grubb.
Where will I be in eternity? Where will you be in eternity? That is the most important question in your life. And if we want to go to heaven, then we must render obedience to the will of God. We're talking about misconceptions of the church, and in this particular section, we're talking about the responsibility that I have in the local church or local congregation. And we note together that in the local church, I have the responsibility to cooperate in good works. In Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35, we see an example of cooperation of good works in the first century church. Now, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all, nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had need. Yes, we're fellow laborers in the local church, as Paul said to Philemon in Philemon chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. And so I have that responsibility to cooperate and work together in the local congregation for the good of my brethren. Also, I have the responsibility to use my influence for good. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." That's Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. Also, as a member of a local congregation, I have the responsibility to attend regularly, not just on Sunday morning for worship. Oh, how many we have in the Lord's church now who only attend on Sunday morning for worship. Think about it. 168 hours in a week. And someone makes a tremendous sacrifice of 1 hour to come and worship God. I owe the local congregation, I owe God, I owe myself the responsibility of regular attendance at our assemblies. The Hebrew writer says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching." Hebrews 10 and verse 25. He says, not forsaking the assembly. You know, there's a difference between neglect and forsake. Some of us neglect our spouses, but we best not forsake them for someone else. And when we go and fish or play or have fun or work or do something else, watch television or sleep, instead of attending the services, we're forsaking God for something else. I owe my local congregation regular liberal contributions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." Yes, in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul tells us when we are to make the contribution to the church. It is on the first day of the week. What day is that? Oh, that's Sunday. And which first day of the week are we to make that contribution? Every week there's a first day. That's when we are to gather to worship, to contribute to the support of the work of the church. And Paul talks about the attitude that we are to have in that regard in talking about the brethren in Macedonia, as recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. He's speaking to the church in Corinth, which is in Achaia. Macedonia is to the north. And he's using the example of the Macedonian churches to encourage the Achaean churches to give as they should. He says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality." Note, please, the Macedonian churches were poor. They were so poor, in fact, that under Roman law, they did not have to pay taxes. And yet, Paul says, in spite of their poverty and affliction, they were liberal in their giving. He says in verse 3, "For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God." What causes people to render obedience to the gospel of Christ? What causes people to live the Christian life faithfully, in attendance, in liberal contributions? It is the fact that we first give ourselves to God. You see, God wants first place or no place. Matthew 6:33, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We have to seek the kingdom of God first in order to be pleasing to Him. In fulfilling my responsibility in the local congregation, I also have the responsibility of teaching other people the gospel. In Mark 16 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's a responsibility that I have as a Christian. What am I doing to help fulfill the responsibility of reaching out and teaching people the gospel of Christ? Am I talking to my neighbor? Am I talking to my friends? Am I talking to the people at work? Do I take advantage of opportunities to tell people of the blessed privilege that they have or can have by being in Christ, where all spiritual blessings are found, so that we can travel the narrow road which leads to eternal life? What am I doing in that area? I have that responsibility to teach the lost. And if I don't do it, who will? It is up to each member to do what we can to proclaim the blessed gospel of Christ. If we expect the church to grow as it did in the first century, then we must pattern our lives after the lives of the Christians in the first century. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, Paul says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works." Yes, if the church is going to grow today, as it did in the first century, Christians have to live upright, moral lives. And we have to set the example for the world. Also, we have to be involved in teaching the gospel, as they did in the first century. Acts chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." Why did disciples multiply? Because the gospel was spread. Think about a man who goes out into a field and he's going to sow the seed in the field. He spreads that seed all around the field to enable that seed to fall into good soil and bring forth fruit. If I'm going to fulfill my responsibility as a Christian, I've got to spread that seed. And one of the things that we're doing on this broadcast is spreading the seed to give you an opportunity to hear the gospel, to believe it, and obey it. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18 tells us, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." What do we need to do? We need and we must obey from the heart that teaching found in the New Testament. And how much of our heart has to believe it? All of our heart. Just as Philip said to the Ethiopian eunuch, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." Not just a half-hearted belief, but a full-hearted belief, and then obedience to the will of God. We must also remember that we are not just to worship God, but we are to work in His vineyard. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16, the Bible records, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive.' So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen. God is offering heaven to anyone who will obey His will. And it may be we'll have the privilege to be His children for many, many years and to live faithfully for Him. Or it may be a person will obey the gospel just shortly before he dies. God has promised eternal salvation to all that obey Him. Whether it's 10 or 20 years or 10 or 20 minutes. If it's just 20 minutes, God will still fulfill the promise that He made. Is it possible for a person to obey the gospel and 20 minutes later be dead? It's possible. He could be hit by an automobile. He could have some kind of other accident. It's very possible. And so the point of the illustration of working in the vineyard is we have the privilege to work in the vineyard. It may be we'll have the privilege to work that whole time in the vineyard. Maybe only for a little while. But God is going to reward us, and the reward is heaven. Please think of the alternative. If we don't go to heaven, where will we go? We go to hell. Friends and brethren, we do not want to go to hell. We want to go to heaven. And in order to go to heaven, we must obey His will. In John chapter 4, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white for harvest. John chapter 4, verses 34 and 35. There are so many people in this world who need to hear the gospel. And it is up to members of the Lord's church to preach the gospel to every person in this world. Oh, the billions and billions of people that live in this world who need to hear the gospel. And if they are going to hear the gospel, it will be because I do what I'm supposed to do in fulfilling my responsibility. And so in this series of lessons, we've been talking about misconceptions of the church. People have thought for years that the church Jesus built is a denomination. It is not. It is of divine origin. It is not man-made. And Jesus only built one church, not hundreds and thousands of churches. The name the church wears is a Bible name. The Churches of Christ salute you. It wears the name that God gave to it, as well as the members of the church. Those names that are found in the Bible need to be used properly. Some people use Bible names in an improper way, and we discussed that in this series. We talked about wrong ideas in regard to the worship of the church, recognizing that God has told us how we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We've studied together that the church has a work to do. And we talked about the various work that is involved in the preaching of the gospel, in helping the needy, and in building up the church or edifying the church. Then we talked about the local congregation and the responsibility that I have in fulfilling the great commission that God gave to His church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are you a member of the church Jesus built? How do we become a member of the church of Christ, the one church that Jesus built almost 2,000 years ago, the church that we can identify today by its characteristics? How do we become members of that one church? The Bible tells us that we are to hear the gospel, Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We are to believe that gospel message, which includes the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We go to the Father through the Son. And if we want to go to heaven, we have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Do you believe that? If you do, then that means that you're going to want to obey the commands that Jesus gave to His disciples. Do you want to be a disciple of Christ? Do you want to be a Christian? Do you recognize that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23, and that you need to deal with your sin by repenting of your sin? Acts 17:30 tells us, and the times of this ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Repentance is a command from God. It is the change of our wills in regard to sin. And then we are to use our mouth to confess our faith in Christ. If we believe in Christ with our heart, then we need to use our mouth to confess our faith. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Jesus said, if we confess Him before men, He will confess us before His Father in heaven. But if we deny Him before men, He'll deny us before His Father in heaven. We must make that good confession. And then we must be baptized into Christ. We are immersed in water so that our sins are washed away and we're added to that one church that Jesus promised to build. When we're immersed in water, we leave our old state and enter into our new state, that is, the saved state. We're in Christ, where all spiritual blessings are found. And then we can begin to live the Christian life one day at a time. Have you done this? Are you a member of the church, but for many years you have not been living faithfully? You have not been fulfilling your responsibility in the local church? If that's the case, why not repent of your sins, find a faithful congregation in your area, and then go and let the brethren know there that you've repented, identify with them, and begin working to help fulfill that great commission, carrying the gospel into all the world.